This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
It's time for VCP, the Valiant Century Podcast, episode 124. And as promised, this is the second episode for the week, the Road to Harbinger Wars 2 panel from C2E2 this past weekend. There's some pretty good information. We got to learn some new stuff that we hadn't heard before at the summit. But if you did watch the summit, a lot of the information that is given here is kind of a little bit of a repeat from that. But again, there is new information. The creators were there, Daniel Kibblesmith, Elliot Rahal, Jody Hauser, and a few others. So I hope you enjoy this panel. We are going to be having a contest announcement next week. And don't forget, Friday, I will be releasing my interview with Dinesh Shamdasani. That we did at C2E2 as well. So I hope you're looking forward to that. You can, of course, find us all on Twitter, at Who's Paul, at Geekvine, at Valiant_Central, and we'll catch you on Friday. Enjoy.
Morrison, I'm the Vice President of Marketing and Communications at Valiant. It is my pleasure to welcome you to Valiant, the Road to Harbinger Wars 2. An exciting lineup of items to be covering with you today, and some very special guests. But before we get started, let me introduce my friend and colleague from Valiant, Mr. Josh Johns, Director of Digital Media. So Josh, we had a pretty big thing happen earlier this week. We were in Los Angeles for the third annual Valiant Summit. Did you guys pick up that live stream? See any of the news? Okay, great. So what were we doing for Valiant Summit? Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, as many of you saw, and you can rewatch it on YouTube with HyperRPG or on HyperRPG's page, we had an amazing live event, our third annual Valiant Summit. And really, you know, that's our opportunity to lay out an entire year's worth of books and to let you guys know all the things we're working on behind the scenes at Valiant, especially in publishing and with some always interesting surprises along the way.
Yep, so we essentially outlined every major release that we're going to be having from March, which began with Exo Manowar, through the end of the year. We're going to fill you in on a lot of those books today. But before we begin, I think it's important to note that, as you can see from the artwork before you by Felipe Massafara, that we unveiled an initiative that we're calling Icons. And essentially, this is about bringing a lot of our biggest, most demanding characters back to the forefront of the Valiant universe in a big, impactful way. If you guys have been paying attention to what we did with Exo Manowar over the past several months leading to the launch of that book, you know that we put all of Valiant's creative firepower behind it, and over the course of the coming months, you're going to be seeing similar moves for characters including Faith, Bloodshot, Shadow Man, and Toya Barada in Harbinger Wars 2. So we have a lot of exciting stuff to cover, but as you guys know, Exo Manowar just hit shelves. Does anyone pick up Exo Manowar number one?
Yeah.
We announced on Monday that this is the most successful independent comic book of the year from any publisher. So thank you to everyone who helped make this book a success. We appreciate it, guys. And it's a big milestone for Valiant.
We couldn't be more proud of this book in the office. Tomas Giorello and Matt Kinn have just absolutely killed it on this. It takes a lot of what made Robin and Diddy's historic 56, you know, issue run and builds even on top of that. Taking Exo Manowar and all the themes that you guys love from the comic book, but into radically different new places, new destinations, vast alien worlds, civil wars going on in different planets. I mean, this is an epic war tale told beautifully by this creative team, and we're so proud of it internally, and this is going to be, for years to come, a highlight book for the Valiant universe.
Yep. Issue number 2 is on shelves next week, and for those of you who don't know, this is an entirely new jumping on point for the character. It honors everything that came before over the course of Robert Venditti's run that began back in 2012, but takes the character into an entirely new direction. In this case, showing up on a going to live on a foreign alien world where he's seeking peace, only to find himself sucked back into an extraterrestrial civil war. And there's several notable elements about this. You know, if you've been following the character of Exo Manowar, you know that he's a Visigoth who's brought into a sentient suit of alien armor. When we first meet him in the page of this new series, him and the armor are estranged, and we're going to see them develop a relationship unlike any they had over the course of Exo Manowar's 25-year history.
And I think that's super interesting. That's something that Matt really added to the Exo Manowar mythos, is an almost antagonistic relationship between himself and the armor. The armor as a character, not just a weapon. And I think that you guys will be shocked to see how far he takes that thread.
Yep. And Matt Kent has put a tremendous amount of work into doing this book. This book really is going to be the spine of the Valiant Universe throughout 2017. So much so that he is working currently across, I believe, the first 15 issues. Mm-hmm. So issue number one just stands. We currently have five different art teams working on various stages of the book, which has allowed us to cut some of our most high-powered artists on the series, including, as you can see here, issue number four by Doug Braithwaite, who's going to be launching the second arc general in June.
And that's so important, you know, that there's a clear roadmap. When you build a story of this scope, you really want to know exactly where you're going and internally so that, you know, we can make this thing as big as possible and give it the stage that it deserves. You really want to know. So I'm always shocked. I don't work in editorial, but going and seeing the editors and being like, hey, what are you working on? Oh, just X-Men War number 15 coming out in 2018-19, whenever that comes out. That's always shocking how far in advance they're working on this book. But it really speaks to the epic scope of what they're trying to deliver on this book.
Yep, and so arc one with art by Tomas Chiarello is entitled Soldier. Arc two, General, is going to be in June. You guys can hear with that great way. Clayton Crane comes on for Emperor with issue 7. And then issue number 10 is going to be a standalone with art by Nico Soyan. This is an issue that we only started talking about for the first time on Monday at the Valiant Summit. But the back half of the year for X-Men War from issue number 10 on, we haven't shared any details about, but it's going to have big, big ramifications for X-Men War, his journey to the planet Gorn, and then subsequently the effects of this series on the back half, on the other half of the Valiant Universe.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you should see here, you know, the bounty hunters, and here's some design by Rockford. And again, we're trying to do something radically different with this comic book. Matt Kent is a genius world builder. It's one of the things that he does the absolute best at in this industry. And the characters that he's created for these bounty hunters are unbelievable. And I think you guys are going to be really, really, really enjoy the standalone. And then moving forward with Visigoth, as you guys know, there was a time jump between, you know, the previous EXO series and EXO number one coming out with Eric arrives on this planet. You know, what happened there? Why isn't he on Earth? What will he ever go back, etc. Those are the things they're going to start digging deeply on, and there's some pretty shocking revelations.
And you're going to start to see the keys to the cosmic side of the Valiant Universe start to get revealed as the series goes on. Each one of these guys that you see before you is going to be 7 total. They are not a team. They're each individuals that have been dispatched to try and take down EXO for reasons that will soon become clear. But each one of them represents a different alien race that we have not yet seen in the Valiant Universe. So, and we'll start to see the seeds that are laid there pay off in the long run over the next couple of years.
See, she's cool.
But it's not just the planet Gorn that's in. Has big things coming for it in 2017. A book coming up called Secret Weapons that's really going to be at these.
Yeah,
absolutely. This is another one release for us on multiple levels. This is a new prestige format book that we're putting out in that same kind of deluxe format that we use for Divinity and Britannia and Savage. First and foremost, it's the first solo book for Livewire. We have any Livewire fans in the house? Into her own. She first appeared in the pages of Harbinger, subsequently in Unity, and has really, you know, stepped to the forefront of characters that people have demanded that we take a more in-depth look at. To do so, we've come up with a pretty amazing team. This book is written by Eric Heiserer. Guys might know him as the screenwriter of Arrival, for which he was nominated for an Oscar this year. It's a pretty rare occurrence in mainstream superhero comics to have an Oscar nominee want to come take on one of your characters, and we're happy to have him. He's doing absolutely phenomenal stuff with this book. And then the art is by Raoul Allen, who, if you guys have, these are some covers, if you guys have seen Raoul's work on Wrath of the Eternal Warrior, or on a couple issues of Bloodshot Reward that he did, you know he's an absolutely next level guy. He's a former studio mate of David Aja, and collaborator with him on some of his issues, and he has an absolutely just next level take on the Harbinger side of the universe. People who have been following Livewire for a long time will know by looking at page 2 there, we get a big moment for the character, which is finally gun hands. Josh, what else can we look forward to with the new cast of characters in Secret Weapons?
Yeah, absolutely. I would just say, you know, Livewire has been for so long the character that you guys have been demanding. It gets her own series, it's a larger platform, and we got a lot of that affinity, but we love that character. One of our absolute favorites in the office. We kept trying to elevate that character and get her to a book that would really showcase, you know, how amazing she is. And when the opportunity came up to work with an Academy Award nominated writer to bring her to life, and he has the best take on her character I've ever seen, we jumped at it. I think anyone who was waiting for this moment, it was worth the wait. Eric has designed, has not only brought Livewire to the forefront, but an entirely new cast of psyops and characters that are going to be deeply ingrained in the Valiant universe. It's going to be a big, big book for Valiant for years to come, and it will affect, you know, a lot of what we do going forward, especially on the Harbinger side of our universe.
I think it's also worth noting that what brought Eric to Valiant in the first place was that he was writing the screenplays for Bloodshot and Harbinger concurrently for the films we're developing at Sony Pictures. And he absolutely fell in love with the character of Livewire and the role she played in the Harbinger screenplay and came with this, frankly, totally magnificent idea, which is what happens to all the psyops that Toyo Harada activated but have powers that aren't weaponizable or aren't super useful to someone who's trying to take over the world. Harada invested a ton of money and resources in activating psyops, which, as you guys know, if you've read Harbinger, is a very labor-intensive but also dangerous process. And so we meet four young people who are activated by Harada but have powers that aren't exactly useful if you're trying to go out and fight supervillains. The gentleman, Owen, that we see on the screen here, he can materialize objects out of thin air. Unfortunately, he cannot choose what he gets or when he gets it. So he is being chased through an alleyway here and winds up with an awesome bloody rabbit umbrella. Or he's at work earlier and winds up with a shotgun while he's trying to file stuff at work. Some very, very cool characters that are really going to come into their own as Livewire develops them into secret weapons.
Yeah, you've seen so many characters in this archetype before, and you've seen, you know, characters that have like superpowers, but they're not necessarily super useful. But what happens when a superpower is worthless? Like, there's actually no way to apply that to any tactical situation. Harada, the ultimate tactician, what does he do with those people, and how do they survive life without him? It's a really, really touching story about, you know, a new family coming together and about, you know, what happens, you know, when you're, when you have the expectations and those expectations get abandoned, you have to change them. It's one of my favorite things that we're working on this year, and I think it's super touching, but also a lot of fun.
Yeah, this book is going to have some serious ramifications for the Valiant line. I think Eric is going to be a really, really powerful new voice in the Valiant universe. I can say that. These guys are already working on a sequel to Secret Weapons, but it might not necessarily be called Secret Weapons 2. It's going to be a big, big thing that we have coming up in the coming months. So Secret Weapons is a very, very important book for Valiant. First issue hits shelves in the last week of June, and we're doing something special for it. If you guys read Exo Man of War, many, many of you showed support for the book by pre-ordering the pre-order edition bundle, a new concept we introduced for the launch of Exo Manowar. It was so successful that we're replicating it here. And essentially, if you pre-order all four issues of the first Secret Weapons series in advance with your local retailer by April 27th, which I believe is this coming Thursday, you'll get a specially expanded version of the book that has an extra 8 pages of special features and never before seen content. So if you check with us on Twitter or on Facebook, we have instructions on how to work this out with your retailer. But from what we've heard from the fans and people we've been seeing at shows and retailers as well, this program has been a huge success. And we really appreciate everyone who goes out and pre-orders books. I mean, one of the most important things, shows of support that a fan can do for a book. We've all had the experience of going into a comic shop to pick up a series we're really looking forward to on a Wednesday, only to find out that they're sold out by, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. And pre-ordering books helps retailers gauge in advance what the interest in a particular title is and keep books on shelves for new readers.
Yeah, and that was the biggest problem. The only problem really with Exo Man War, I mean, with 90,000 copies sold, we have to rush back to more additional printings. So I heavily recommend pre-ordering this book. We think it's going to be a big, big book for Valiant. And also, of course, you get the interstitial content, the bonus material, all that great stuff. And then we put a lot of time and thought into that bonus content. It's not just something that we threw together. We only want to provide meaningful looks into the creation of the book and what's to come next for our fans. It really is kind of our love letter to our fans.
But Livewire is not the only leading heroine that we have in the Valiant universe. Next up is Faith. We have any Faith fans in the house? Welcome our first guest on the stage, Jody Hauser and artist Joe Eisma. What's up, guys? So Jody, you have been doing a lot of exciting stuff with Faith over the past year. 2016 was a huge year for the character. We started off with a miniseries that made shockwaves throughout the industry, garnered a lot of critical acclaim, a lot of attention for the character. And now in the pages of her ongoing series that began last year, we're building towards something very, very big, which is The Faithless. The second issue of this arc is going to be out in just 2 weeks' time. Who are the Faithless, and what kind of threat do they pose for Faith?
So the Faithless is comprised of all the villains that Faith has met so far in her new life in LA, and they're led by Chris Criswell, who's essentially her Lex Luthor. He was originally just like the joke that all superhero actors are named Chris. So in the Valiant universe, they're all played by one guy named Chris Criswell. And that was sort of seeded in the miniseries that he's like the cute actor that she has fantasies about sometimes. And while I was working on the miniseries, I was like, what if he's evil? And that ended up being why that was the first pitch I had for the ongoing, is that she finally meets her, you know, the superstar that she adores, but we find out he's her worst villain. So he's essentially the kid who grew up reading comics and watching sci-fi and everything just like Faith herself did, but he was inspired by the supervillains and he really wanted to be a supervillain. So he goes out to Hollywood. I think the joke in his little evil monologue, he's like, I decided to combine my love of supervillainy and community theater. So he went to Hollywood with the hopes of, you know, like getting to play supervillains in movies because, you know, that would be awesome. But because of his all-American rugged good looks, he kept getting cast as heroes. So he ended up being so angry about it, he used his A-list actor fortune to build a criminal empire. So that was like he's kind of the main villain that Faith is based in her ongoing. And there's been a few others, and Chris Criswell, you know how supervillains work, he's like, well, clearly we all need to team up. So he gathers Sydney Pierce, who's from the miniseries, and she's one of the Hollywood Vine, as I call them, one of the vine plantings who had infiltrated the industry and were using their influence there to sort of shape humanity a little bit. An evil talking cat that's actually a psyop entity trapped in a cat's body. And
high fives too, look at that awesome high five panel.
And Jeff, who is a guy who everyone calls Murder Mouse because that was the cosplay he was wearing when he tried to use magic to rob everyone at a comic convention at the same time. Which I actually think is like a really good evil plan. I mean, so Criswell brings them all together, calls them the Faithless. And their plan is to destroy Faith using many classic supervillain plans that we have seen in movies and comics.
Awesome. And Joe, you had done a little bit of work for Valiant previously. I remember the Archer and Armstrong one shot you did for us, which was totally awesome.
Yeah.
What made Faith a character that you wanted to put your weight behind after you've been working on some great stuff for Archie and the like?
Well, the thing about that I tell people that I really like about Faith is, you know, the kind of stereotypical trope of like a superhero is the reluctant hero, that they're burdened with their powers. But Faith is someone who actually seems to enjoy being a superhero, and I like just the kind of optimistic tone that Jody has brought to the series. And like every issue that I've worked on with her has just been like an absolute joy to do, just because like there's just so much, she puts so much fun stuff in there to draw. So. Yeah, it was a nice change from stuff I had done previously, which had been kind of dark, so.
Cool. And Jody, you did something really novel here, which is, you know, over the course of the past year, you took Faith, who had been always a prominent character in the Valiant universe, but a supporting one in the Figures of Harbinger, and, you know, built out what her world as a solo hero looks like. You gave her a day job, an entire cast of supporting characters, and now her own legion of supervillains to go up against. The interesting thing about these characters, though, is that they're not your standard comic book archetypes. What was your inspiration in building this specific set of villains for Faith to go up against?
Well, one of the things I really wanted to do with the ongoing series is, because Faith is a fan of so many different things like a lot of us, I wanted each little two-issue story arc to kind of be its own genre. So, you know, Chris Criswell was sort of the classic superhero, supervillain story. Dark Star, the evil cat, came from what was very much like a magical girl type story. Sydney Pierce, you know, back from the original miniseries, that was very much more like a sci-fi evil alien infiltration story. And then Murder Mouse was very much like the fun, like geeky at a comic convention story. So it wasn't really, and the initial idea wasn't to create a bunch of various villains that we can then bring together. That sort of happened afterward. It just happened that because they were all coming from different genres in a sense, they had very different skill sets that actually work really well when you throw them all together.
Cool. And now, Joe, I know that you've been given a good cast of antagonists to deal with here. Which one of these guys do you think, from a design standpoint, is your favorite to draw?
I think Jody knows this because I always see him first, but I really enjoy drawing Sydney. And I know that design is David LaFuente's, and when I first saw it, I nearly just cried because of all the crazy detail LaFuente put on it. But I quickly discovered it's like so much fun to draw, and she's absolutely my favorite. Her personality, the way Jody writes her, like she's very extreme with her emotions, and so that gives me a chance to really just exaggerate her body language, and it's characters like that that, you know, kind of just excite me as an artist because they give me a chance to really push the storytelling.
Super cool. And now, Jody, you mentioned that you dabbled in a bunch of trying to put Faith up against characters from a bunch of different genres. I know we're building towards a big finale for Faith that's going to happen in issue 12, you and Joe. What comes after Faith 12?
I can't really say too much because that's going to be a pretty big spoiler for in terms of the ongoing itself, but at the end of issue 12, there's going to be a very new status quo for Faith, and there's going to be some stuff she has to resolve after she has a big time travel adventure.
Yeah. So we haven't seen Faith go like full sci-fi into what is going to be a big standalone summer event for Valiant that collides her with not only some of the greatest heroes of the present of the Valiant universe, but also people from throughout the past and the future, including a hero that I'm very glad to have back at the forefront of what we're doing, Neela Sethi, Time Walker.
Yes, and I kind of joke that this event is like a crossover between a Doctor Who fan and someone who clearly doesn't like Doctor Who, because if you read Ivar, there's like a lot of little nods in there. I think it's more like Neela's a scientist, and she's like, that's a TV show that's super inaccurate, so you're making all these assumptions, and I don't want to deal with it. But so it's very much, Neela kind of is the new Time Walker, and there is essentially an evil AI that has made it its mission to take apart the linchpins of time, so all of reality kind of collapses, which would really suck. So, she's been given information that Faith is the hero who needs to stop this, and how and why that came about, you'll see in the first issue. But so she essentially goes and recruits Faith, and Faith is just like, I think she actually says, I've been waiting my entire life for this moment. I think we were saying, we're having a lot of fun playing with the time travel, but the four issues are very much built on the, if at first you don't succeed, try again. So there's going to be some cyclical aspects of the story, and it's actually going to have different artists for each sort of...
Yep, for each loop. We're starting with Steven Segovia and Barry Gibson on the first issue, two awesome artists in their own right. As the complicated nature of time travel dictates, more artists will appear throughout the series. I don't want to give away too much. I know you probably have a very complicated chart hanging in your home to keep track of.
It's pretty much on my head right now. Well, probably why my head hurts so much at the time. But I love time travel. Did we go back to the last? Or where was it? The last slide?
This one?
Yeah. So that weird-looking derpy robot thing is actually the thing that might destroy all reality, which I love the design because that totally does not look like something that would destroy all reality.
And I gotta say, one of the things that I'm so excited about this project is if you guys are Valiant fans, you guys haven't picked up Faith yet, this explores so much of the Valiant continuity and in some amazing ways. People who are like 4001 or like the Harbinger universe, right? Like that. Like this has so many Valiant characters in it. If you're waiting for a time to get into Faith, this is an easy avenue that you can do it as she goes on with the biggest adventure you've ever done in the Valiant universe.
Yeah, and like, as soon as this was announced, people were tweeting at me like, is so-and-so going to be in it? Is so-and-so going to be in it? And like, I was always like, probably, and then someone was like, is the GOAT going to be it? And I'm like, yes, definitely.
Awesome. So if you guys have read previous standalone events we've done, like the Valiant or Bloodshot USA, you know that we do self-contained storytelling. We try to make each book as keen an entry point as possible, and this is a perfect jumping-on point for the character of Faith, and frankly, the broader Valiant universe, as you can see. Perhaps besides the goat, is there one Valiant character you're excited to finally get to try out who you haven't had a chance to appear in the pages of Faith just yet?
Well, I did do a backup with Ninjak, but I'm excited to have Ninjak show up because I'm convinced that like Ninjak is secretly a fan of like British sci-fi stuff. So I think he actually does like Doctor Who and Red Dwarf, and you know he might just like drop a little note and game, or little comment and be like, but he's never actually wanted to do it because it's Ninjak.
I love that. I love the idea of Ninjak as like the reluctant nerd, like Faith is geeking out over something, and Ninjak's like, oh no, forget about it. But he goes to the back room, he's like, oh yes.
And he's like, you know, you probably grew up watching this stuff, like everyone else did, so.
Awesome, so that's Faith in the Future Force coming up in July. Let's have a big round of applause for Philip.
Yeah, Joe's commission list is still open. I'm going to go after this and get a commission in, so check out his booth. Awesome, awesome stuff.
Also coming in July, there's another staggering, and I do not use that word lightly, turning point coming for the Heroes of the Valiant Universe and Harbinger Renegade 5. Have any of you guys been reading Harbinger Renegade by Rafer Roberts and Darren Robertson?
Yeah.
Frankly, something pretty unkind in the pages of this story that's going to be called Massacre. If you guys have been following with Valiant Stuff, you know it's coming in 2018 called Harbinger Wars 2, the sequel to our event from 2013. This, frankly, is probably going to be the most impactful thing that Valiant has ever done to date, and it's going to start in a big, big way with the events of what plays out in this issue. As you can see, we're doing something pretty novel. This issue comes wrapped in a warning label because what happens inside is of such consequence. Josh, can you maybe tease a little bit? I know this is a closely guarded secret that we have.
Yeah, I'm the worst person to tease this because I don't know what happens. This is for the first time, I think in the company's history, we have a book that not all of us have read and reviewed. There are a few versions of the script I know they've been working on, but we don't know who, like we, being the employees of Valiant, except for maybe like five of you guys, like whatever. who's going to be that dies. We have our own theories, of course, but all I can tell you is what they tell us. It's going to be pretty shocking and upsetting. I think we're going to have like someone videotape the staff when we finally get to find out. I will say that if they're keeping it from me and some of the guys at Valiant and our incredible staff, it's probably pretty serious. So
as you guys know, I mean, things have started to escalate on the Harbinger side of the Valiant Universe. You've seen Toyo Harada take over sovereign state in Africa, hijack an aircraft carrier. We now have, since the events of Harbinger Renegade kicked off, Peter Stanchek back on Earth with the ability to activate psyops. That does not make the powers that be very happy. And as you guys can see here, the Hard Four is going to be coming back in a big, big way. And they are authorized to terminate with extreme prejudice. They're going to be hunting any and all psyops on American soil. And that's going to put a lot of people that I know as a fan of Valiant stuff, hold near and dear. And in issue 5, one of them is going to pay a big, big price for going up against the Hard Four. Is that safe to say, Josh?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, I've got the wrong person to talk about, but no, as I understand, this is going to be absolutely bonkers. And I can encourage everyone to keep going to all the cons in the lead up to this, because I just know Dinesh will slip up sometime. We'll all find out, but it's supposed to be pretty serious. They don't mess around with this kind of thing, so definitely check this out.
This is one of the most important single issues that we're going to be publishing all year. If you love Harbinger and hold it dear, issue number 5 is going to be one to pay very close attention to. And as you can see here, many of these characters, and maybe a few more not pictured here, could be on the table for targeting Wild Hardcore. So stay tuned. We're going to be building towards Harbinger Wars 2. As I said, the entire Valiant Universe is escalating towards what is going to be happening for that story in 2018. And coming before the end of the year, shipping in December, as many of you know, we included special mail-away coupons in Harbinger Renegade number 1-4 that are redeemable for this special zero issue that we're going to be shipping out in December. We announced on Monday that it's going to be written by Matt Kent and Doug Braithwaite, two of our longest tenured, most high-profile creators, so that should give you guys a sense of the kind of story that we're building here. I know what Matt has in store for this issue. There's some pretty cool stuff coming up for Harbinger Wars 2 over the coming year. And then another book that I know we're very excited for, Bloodshot Salvation. Have any of you, did you guys take Bloodshot Reborn by Jeff Lemire? So coming in September, Jeff is launching an all-new Bloodshot ongoing series for us. Two artists from Bloodshot Reborn are coming back, teaming up to tackle the series in tandem, Louis LaRosa and Nico Soyan, two absolutely phenomenal talented artists. And they're doing so for a very special reason. This book is split across two timelines. You guys follow Bloodshot Reborn, you know that we left him, Bloodshot and his true love, Magic, in a good place. They finally found some peace. And much like with Exo Manowar, we're going to pick up with them a few months on to find that things are not shaking out so well for them. Josh, could you give us a sense of what's coming up for Bloodshot Salvation?
Yeah, finally, one that I know a ton about. Bloodshot Salvation, obviously, Jeff, we're so happy to have him here at Valiant. He's brought so much to the Bloodshot mythos. I can say that, you know, what we did in Bloodshot Reborn, he really cranks that dial up in Salvation with a new added element, which is Bloodshot's daughter.
Yep.
The relationship they have, how that came to be, what that means for that character. This is not a dream, not a fictional story. You know how they always say this is really the responsibilities of being a parent, but also the incredible consequences of being Bloodshot, how tortured his life is, his legacy is, and what that means for his daughter in the future. It should be really exciting to flesh out. And just like we were talking with Exo Manowar, this is what Matt Kent does. This is Jeff Lemire, and this is long-form storytelling of the highest order, and he has it plotted out. It's another thing where you have to pop into the editorial office and be like, hey, what issue are you guys working on? And it's for next year. I mean, this is one that has a long storytelling. It's an incredible narrative, but a brutal one, and we're really excited to get it out there in the world.
Yeah, if you guys read Bloodshot Reborn, you know that Jeff kind of built his reinvention of Bloodshot around an examination of violence and the consequences that it takes on the soul and the psyche. And here he's, you know, examining something different, which is family and how that plays into Bloodshot's mentality as someone who, you know, lived in a world of extreme violence where anything could happen to anyone at any time. And if you followed his work, Jeff's other works, like from Essex County all the way through Animal Man, all the way through what he's doing right now on Black Hammer, you know that's something that he's touched upon often, but for a character like Bloodshot, there's perhaps no higher stakes. And as Josh mentioned, we meet in the first timeline, which is going to be drawn by Louis LaRosa, that's the modern day. We see Bloodshot and Magic living quietly with their newborn daughter. And then in the second timeline, we jump forward several years to see that that baby, who looked normal by all appearances in the modern day, has grown up to be a reflection of her father. That's Jesse, Bloodshot's daughter, who's going to be a major, major, major new character for the Valiant Universe. And as you can see from this artwork by Miko Soya, some pretty exciting stuff coming up in this, including the first appearance of Rampage, who Jeff has, he's a longtime Valiant villain who Jeff has set about reinventing in a pretty disturbing way.
Yeah, we should talk just, I mean, you guys see the artwork, Louis LaRosa, such a big artist of Valiant, and Miko Soyan churning after Bloodshot Reborn to do this series. Two of our best artists in the stable, you know, bringing everything they have to this story. The artwork is breathtaking, and it really reflects the graphic and touching nature of Jeff's story, which, as I said, I mean, that's classic Jeff Lemire, finding a different way of looking at a familiar theme, whether it was violence, but doing that through the scope of one of the most violent characters ever created in comics, for Bloodshot Reborn, but now family and parentship.
Yep. And another interesting thing he's doing here is he's building out some big new villains for Bloodshot. You can see Rampage here, who's going to be a big force in the series going forward, as well as Omen, which is going to be a new splinter cell of Project Rising Spirit that's going to be appearing not only in Bloodshot Salvation, but several other titles that have big implications for the Bloodshot and Harbinger size of the Valiant Universe over the next several months. a great indication of where the series will be going is going to, you're going to get that on Free Comic Book Day. Jeff and Juan Jose Reap have constructed a really, really awesome prelude to the events of Bloodshot Salvation that's only going to be available on Free Comic Book Day. That issue also has a all-new Exo Manowar story by Matt Kent and Keifu, as well as a sneak preview of Secret Weapons number 1. But if you know Jeff, and as Josh has alluded to, he works very, very far in advance, knows meticulously where these characters are going and when. So if you read this story, and if you're a diehard Valiant fan, pay very close attention, because nothing in here is placed by accident. And there are some big clues in the story about what the events of Bloodshed Salvation are going to portend in 2017 and 2018. So Free Comic Day is coming up on the first weekend of May, just about 2 weeks away. Please pick up our book. We're very proud of this one. It's packed with a bunch of surprises. But as I mentioned, this is a great jumping on point for the Valiant Universe. If you're new to the books, if you read them all the time, we put a lot of work into this, and there's a lot of great stuff.
And the hardcore Valiant fans know this, but for anyone new to Valiant, our Free Comic Book Day is always a big clue to the next couple of years of publishing. We always include teasers that are going to let you guys know what's coming up. I'm not saying that's what we did this time, but I'm also not saying that's not what we did this time. So be sure to check it out.
But Bloodshot Salvation isn't going to be the only place you can find Bloodshot in the coming months. Coming up in July, we have Bloodshot's Day Off. So with that, let's welcome our next two guests, Elliot Rahel and Daniel Kibblesmith, this week.
Should have gotten you guys music.
What's up, gentlemen?
Yeah, you guys are having us on. Very nice.
This is extra special fun for us. Elliot is one of my oldest, dearest friends in comics, and the first time I've ever gotten to do a panel.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so excited. We were Marvel Legends together, and he's my friend.
You're all right today. On my first day as a Marvel intern, the very first two people I met were Elliot Rahel and Donnie Cates, writer of God Country.
That's right.
So if there's a lesson to be learned from that, I think it's make sure you intern with me.
He's still the most handsome man in comics to me.
But we're super excited to be working with you. If you guys read Stalinverse, Divinity 3 Stalinverse, Elliot helmed the fourth and final one shot, which was Divinity 3 Escape from Flight. It was a really great issue. I think it took a lot of people by surprise. It was got wonderful, wonderful reviews. So we're super excited to have you back to do one of these anniversary one-shots that we're working on.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be back. Bloodshot, is anybody a fan of the original Bloodshot's Day Off?
Yeah.
Bonkers. I love that book. That was great.
So the original... Over the course of the summer, we put together a series of four one-shots that are kind of homages to four of the most beloved Valiant tales of yore from the 90s. Each one of those characters is celebrating their 25th anniversary this year, including Bloodshot. We began with a tribute to Barry Windsor-Smith's Archer and Armstrong number 8 that just came out in the Aurora Brothers one-shot. Frank Venditti and Renato Paez are doing Eternal Warrior Awakening number 1. Next month, which is a tribute to Eternal Warrior number 1, and then this Bloodshot's Day Off, which is one that I've been dying to get to. Bloodshot's Day Off, there is an original issue of the first Bloodshot series, Bloodshot number 12, that has one of the greatest covers
it's
in comic book history.
It's a great cover.
It is Bloodshot in a bathrobe, chilling out in front of the TV.
He's got a really nice fine china that he's drinking coffee from. That's, I think, my favorite part of it. He's got like sterling in this.
So Kari Evans actually paid tribute to that one.
That's great.
So these two gentlemen, we could say that we could put that apostrophe in a different place, because you're not dealing with Ray Garrison Bloodshot, you're dealing with two members of the Bloodshot squad we last saw in Bloodshot USA. So who are these gentlemen, and what is their day off going to look like?
Yeah, that's correct. So that's, it's Tank Man on the left, and then Viet Man on the right there. And, it's from, they appeared in Bloodshot Island, and when the Bloodshot virus was infecting New York, they came with Bloodshot to save everybody and all that stuff. And they're two very interesting characters. They're both veterans. Tank Man is a World War II sort of greatest generation guy, and then Viet Man is a Vietnam veteran. And they both have two completely different contexts, which I thought was a really interesting character relationship. And that's what I was kind of hoping to explore, but in also a celebration issue, which was sort of, there's jokes, but at the same time, you know, what I tried to do with Escape from the Gulag is that, like, you know, the story of Stalinverse, communism, you have Archer. I wanted to talk about faith. You know, when I was like 18, I converted to Catholicism because I was like really into Jesus. And then I tried drugs when I was 21, and my life is this now. Yeah, but I have...
Perfect minds,
one issue at a time. You hear that, kids? Oh, two drugs. No. Oh, don't. Unless you're ready for them.
Are you having people on the internet?
Are we also holding our microphones like this? Listen, I come from a performance band.
Allie, we're on our tight. Allie is supposed to do it the other way.
I do the other way. I'm sorry.
Put the drugs and then go to
G. I'm sorry. I still got a lot of life to live yet, so it's fine. But that's what, you know, what I wanted to bring. You know, faith was something that's still very important to me, my remaining spirituality and all those things. And I put that into the book. And with Bloodshot's Day Off, you know, I come from an Arab family, right? My father's a merchant businessman. My brother is a United States Marine, right? Yeah, and it's weird that you guys don't clap for that, but that's whatever. My father's a hero. Little like heroes here at Comic Con. It's weird. He, you know, he's a very successful young man. His family is a niece, and you know, worked on Wall Street for a while, and then I do this with my wife. So you can imagine my father and I don't. I love my father to death, but we don't necessarily get along very well, and a lot of it is a big generational gap difference, and so. I put that kind of context, and then also the context of my father. We didn't get along with his father, who was of the greatest generation, and I put that into there. And basically, the book is about, like, those two types of people who don't get along at all go sightseeing for a day. So they check out the New York sights like any good tourists, and they both, you know. It's not a fun time, and the entire book is really what is the one thing that these two guys have in common, aside from being genetically mutilated by, you know, bad people and stuff like that, is that they're soldiers. And so that's what the story is about, it's a soldier story.
Cool. And you're working with artist Kari Evans on this. You obviously launched Harvard for us and working with her.
Which is very, very cool. It's very cool.
Cool, so that's Bloodshot's Day Off, number one, coming up in July, a one-shot. Super looking forward to that one.
Oh, you put it away now?
Yeah. That's not the only place you can find Bloodshot at the moment. We've talked about two previous versions of Bloodshot that are appearing in this book. If you go into Valiant High, which is a Comixology original series we were doing, written by Daniel with art by Derek Charm of Jughead fame, you're going to find out that Bloodshot perhaps had another life as a high school gym coach. Correct, yes. So what is Valiant High? I know this takes place outside of the proper Valiant continuity. It's a lot of fun. You're doing an awesome job. What's your entry point into this book?
So Valiant High is a high school alternate universe featuring all of the superheroes from the Valiant universe, or very nearly all of the superheroes. I got in as many as I could. So it's just a outside of continuity alternate reality that reimagines them all as different high school archetypes. It's the kind of thing that superheroes, you know, have gotten to do forever in shows like Smallville or X-Men Evolution. And finally, Valiant got to that point where it's like, hey, we got to throw all these guys into high school and get a lot of teen romance and drama and failing your driver's ed exam, all of the things that we dealt with, but with superpowers.
Super cool. And so you had your choice. You had pretty much smart blanche to choose whatever characters you wanted to include, but I think you settled on a really interesting POV character to introduce us to this world. So who is the first person we meet at Valiant High?
The first person we see is Livewire. I think that she was just a character whose time had come, and I felt the same way as all you guys did. That's especially doing a story about a high school student who's looking for her place in the world. When you're taking characters that we know from the Valiant universe, a live wire is somebody whose kind of defining story for a long time was that she was a pupil, that she was somebody who had a teacher, and that she had a falling out with that mentor. And it seemed like such a natural fit to take that kind of core metaphor and literalize it and make her a high school teacher, or I'm sorry, high school student, where the principal is Harada. So the A story of Valiant Eye is a teenage live wire in a prep school full of superpowered teens who are not allowed to use their powers at school and totally do anyway. Dealing with how she fits into the larger ecosystem of high school. And lots of romance and friendships get tested, and that's the eternal sophomore, so named because he keeps getting held back.
Greatest name. Action spread issue 3 is wonderful. That one comes out last week, but as you can see, you packed a bunch more characters into issue 3, including I think what is my favorite appearance thus far, Ginger. Ninjak's awesome purple sports car.
There it is. Yeah, my favorite character in the Valiant universe, Ginger. Hands down.
Yeah, it's also even more than just packing full of characters. This thing's, it's like a dense amount of jokes. Like it's like Arrested Development, you know? Like every panel you snuck something in there.
I didn't know when I was going to get access to this many characters at the same time. It's such a dream book because it takes place outside of continuity and it's a high school, so I sort of need to have everybody because you want to see as many of your favorite personalities like reimagined in this alternate universe. So I kind of just packed as many toys into the sandbox as I could. You can see them fighting some evil spirits on the football field. Those are the Valiantine Manowars.
Wow.
Go fighting Manowars. I don't think the mascot Manny the Manowar is in this page, but he's a big jellyfish. So and Derek Charm and David Barron give that great animated series look, so I wanted to take advantage of that vibe and just give as big a cast of characters as I could, because you know, when would I have access to this many of Valiant's heroes again all in one place?
Sure. Yeah, it's very much different than anything we've done before, but I think we're all thrilled with the execution. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Thanks. I like it too.
So another book that we announced at the Valiant Summit earlier this week is Eternity. We have any Divinity fans in the house? You know that we came to a big conclusion of the Divinity trilogy with the Stalinverse series that just wrapped up. We can't say too much about what Eternity is going to be just yet, other than it's going to reunite Matt Kent and Trevor Harrison, the two creators that brought that series to life. And open an entirely new frontier in the Valiant universe. You might even say an entirely new universe in and of itself. Matt and Trevor are currently working on something super, super ambitious, which is designing an entire new world of characters. You've seen Divinity, you know that he's imbued with godlike powers from points unknown. In Eternity, we are going to find out that the unknown, that which transformed Divinity, is not a person, it's a place. And there might be beings even more powerful than him out there. So we're going to get to explore an entirely new vantage point for the Valiant universe.
That's super cool.
Yeah, I mean, this is us expanding that Divinity universe. I mean, Divinity was such a high sci-fi concept, but it took place here within the Valiant universe, you know, on Earth, interacting with the Valiant characters. But now, just like almost like we did with Eric, you know, this whole next year is so much about expanding and building and new, you know, for our biggest icons, our biggest characters, entirely new settings and places and experiences. And you can see here, I mean, these things are, as Helly said, bonkers earlier. I mean, these we have incredible designs. Again, Matt Kim is such a world builder, taking Divinity to a whole new place, a whole new map. And really a Valiant book that's really unlike anything else we're publishing. It's a really, really wild take.
Yep, and as you guys know, the mantra of the Valiant universe has always been the world outside your window, trying new grounded mm-hmm. sci-fi approaches to the grounded real world approaches to sci-fi and superheroes. What Matt is trying to do here is create, is heavily influenced by people like Jack Kirby, by Mobius, doing something huge, fantasy-driven, godlike storytelling that, frankly, you can't find anywhere else in comics right now. So
that's a great title for that character up there.
Which one?
Io, the keeper of the Uncanny Valley. Can we all acknowledge much how dope that is.
And it's not just Matt. We have a bunch of our most high-profile artists all working on character designs for this. They're creating a massive, massive canvas that they're going to be playing on. These are two of my favorites right here, but Kari Evans. Yeah. So that's going to begin in October. We'll be revealing more about who these characters are, how they come into play as we get closer, but playing pretty close to the vest right now because we don't want to spoil too much about what Matt and Trevor are building. Another series we announced, Ninja K. Any Ninjak fans here? So as you guys know, Matt Kint built a pretty awesome 25-issue run on Ninjak over the past couple years. This November, he's passing the mantle over to Christos Gage and Tomas Giorello. You guys read X-Men Manowar, you know what a monster Tomas Giorello is. And Christos has worked with us previously on Bloodshot Hardcore. He's also one of the writers of Netflix's Daredevil. He has fallen in love with the lore of Ninjak, or as the series is entitled, Ninja K. So titled because for the first time, we're going to be revealing the complete history of the ninja program and why MI6 has a purple ninja in the first place. Josh, tell us about what Christos has in store.
Yeah, like he's going to dive deep into the history that kind of Matt Kint set up in his run of Ninjak. You know, Ninjak being Ninja K, that means there was an entire alphabet of ninjas prior to getting to K. So what happened to all of them? How bad or how good did that go to arrive at Ninja K, getting all the way back to, you know, World War I? And we're going to deep dive into that history with a mystery. A history mystery.
A history mystery.
Thanks, Elliot. We're going to deep dive into that, and we're going to go through all the eras inside the Valiant continuity. You're going to see a bunch of characters you haven't seen in a while and some new faces, and it's going to be super, super fun.
Yeah, in contrast to, Matt Kint did something very special with Ninjak, which he delved into previously unexplored facets of the character, finding out his connections to the supernatural. Christos is coming back and doing a fully espionage-driven take. I compared this to the biggest James Bond movie that's ever been filmed. It's a 40-page first issue. The first 20 pages are going to completely blow you away. It starts in the trenches of World War I with the first ninja, Ninja A, who was part of the alliance between Japan and Britain at that time. And then we follow them across the next 50, 75 years of history as ninjas are trained in succession and meet just an incredible new cast of characters that inform Ninjak's place in the Valiant universe, how he came to be, MI6's most dreaded intelligence agent, and then sets him in play in the modern day when someone, force unknown, begins killing veterans of the ninja program. So we're going to get to see how these guys operate within MI6 and what their stake is in the espionage side of the Valiant universe in a big way. Cool. And then the final series we announced coming in December, Clang, Nutcracker. An all new ongoing series written by Daniel Kibblesmith.
Am I legally clear to sing The Boys Are Back in Town?
Yes, we can make that happen.
The lawyers are Tim Lizzie.
So you come up with a really, really novel approach to Quantum and Woody. We're super excited to have you on board. People have been demanding Quantum and Woody for years now. And coming back this December, all new ongoing series. What's your approach to these characters, and where do we find them?
Well, it's a great combination of back to basics, but totally new status quo. Because when we check in on Quantum and Woody, they are not speaking and totally estranged, or at least as totally estranged as you can be. when you literally need to meet up once a day to have your bracelets together. For the folks at home, when there is a meme on the screen. that's the variant cover. So our Quantum and Woody have had the big fights, the fight that finally ends the two guys who are seemingly willing to put up with anything from each other. So the story is all about what was the fight that finally broke up Quantum and Woody. We see Woody showing up at the apartments, not living with Quantum, getting out of a cab, clanging, leaving without saying a word, and the mystery is what could one of them have done that was so bad that it finally broke up the brothers? It turns out it was actually something that Eric did. And he was sitting on a big seat. Can I say what a big seat there was? Yeah. Eric knows who Woody's birth dad is. So he didn't tell him, and that's a big problem for Woody. So it's a story, like every great Quantum and Woody story, it's all about family, and ours is a lot about trust, and you know, what you can and can't recover from with your brother.
And you're going to be working with Connell on this, who hasn't done any Valiant interiors since the Book of Death a couple years ago. What are you looking forward to?
I'm such a big fan. I mean, especially of his Quantum and Woody stuff and The Delinquents, which is one of the most beautiful books I've ever held in my hands. And obviously he's just like this is great. It's great, but it's also funny. Like, he's so good at expressing personality and landing a joke. And I think it gives us a lot of opportunities to really feel like these are real guys and kind of empathize with what they're going through,
for sure,
even though they're kind of idiots.
Yep. And this will be a completely fresh entry point into the characters. It will honor everything that James Asmus and Tom Ballard did several years back, but it's a completely fresh influence into the world's worst superheroes.
Yeah.
We're excited to have Daniel Connor on board. That's the lineup that we have for the year. We've outlined some big steps. We went through almost everything today. A few things we didn't, as you can see in August, we have a big classified title that we can't talk about just yet. You guys will be hearing about very, very soon. I think that's going to be a very exciting one. Josh, do you know what that one is?
I know that one is.
Hey!
No, they're not that bad secrets. No, the classified title is something that you guys have been asking for and something that you guys have been hounding us for some time, so I think you guys will be really, really happy.
But speaking of being hounded, Shadow Man is probably the most demanded character, I think, in the Valiant universe of all of Quantum Woody. Any Shadow Man fans out there? The final announcement, which was a tease at the Valiant Summit this week, was that can't reveal all the details just yet, but that Shadow Man will be coming back definitively next year, March 28th, 2018. There'll be a new Shadow Man number one on stands. As you guys know, that date just passed. That's the same week, same Wednesday that we released Exo Manowar number one this year. It's a very, very, very significant date for Valiant going forward. It's gonna be our big, big launch spot. Wow, we just told you that, you know, we put all of our firepower behind Exo Manowar number one. It sold 90,000 copies, best-selling single issue of the year from an independent publisher. What we have coming for Shadow Man is just as big, and it's going to be a major tentpole for 2018. So stay tuned. We'll be talking more about that in the coming months. So that's what we have for you guys today. We have time for two or three questions if anyone wants to throw one in. Sure, Janice.
We have a question from a superfan online. We know him, his name is Dinesh. He would like to know, Elliot, do you like backwards cash drops or forwards cash drops?
Can I take a look at
it? I'm not supposed to be part of the show.
Can you give us a little thing?
No, I gotta go backwards cash drops.
You can't.
Yeah. No one's wondering if our CEO is watching the live stream.
He's got a very distinct look. General, I like it. Hi, Dinesh, it's good. I'm glad you left without saying goodbye. Thank you so much.
Next question. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
When we last saw Quantum and Woody, the goat was getting ready to give birth.
Oh, that's right. That's not a question.
You are correct.
I agree with you.
Are we going to touch on that at all? Be serious.
I don't want to reveal what happened, but yes, this is in the existing Quantum and Woody continuity. It's a new jumping on place for new readers, but I'm a huge fan of everything that's been written so far, and I would be amiss if I didn't touch upon where we left off.
Cool. So
you have a plan? Yes. We have a good plan, sir. That is a related question. They are the most frequently asked questions. One final question. Anyone? You have time? Yes, my friend.
Yeah. Talking about Stalin, is there any plan for any of these titles you're talking about? For the four, the red?
The Red Brigade.
Yes. Is it pop up anywhere here? Or in the proper
I can't say too much. Matt? Does have a lot of plans for those characters. That we were all very excited by the creation. I think there's a lot of potential there, and we're going to be exploring that definitely in the coming months. Cool. Do you have one last question, sir? Nope. Okay. Thank you guys so much for coming. We appreciate you guys taking time out of your show to join us. If you go down to the booth at 317, the Valiant booth, immediately after this panel, and use the password Future Force, okay? Shh, whisper it. To either Adam, that gentleman back there on the black hoodie, or any of the folks in the Valiant t-shirts at the booth. We have a limited edition gold comic book for you. We do not sell these. We only give them away as shows of support to our fans. Thank you guys so much for coming.
Hey, if you guys want to see me, stop by K2. I'll chat a lot.